I wasn't the most smooth talker. Like, I wasn't going to go in there and be that really savvy sales guy, but just knowing that if I talk to enough people, and it really just reinforced that for me, because that first summer, I actually ended up being the top rookie salesman of that season.
CEOs often feel stuck in the grind of scaling their business and feel like they're missing out on the best parts of life, like family, friends, or travel. On this podcast, CEOs come to take themselves and their companies to the next level. Let's dive into the millionaire mind with your host, Dallin Schultz.
Hey folks, just wanted to add a quick little disclaimer. We do have a little bit of audio glitching in this episode, and just want to let you know that our team works really, really hard to provide a quality product. But at the end of the day, sometimes there's technical issues and we did our best to improve it. But just so you know, you are going to hear a little bit of that through this episode. I promise you, it's not going to disrupt the message and you're still going to find a tremendous amount of value. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for supporting us and enjoy the episode. Hey, welcome back to another Millionaire Mind episode where I have some of the most successful business owners sharing what motivates them to get out of bed every morning and how they elevate themselves and their companies to the next level. And today you're going to hear from an entrepreneur that learned from a young age the value of hard work, integrity, and mental toughness. And for those future business owners listening that may be having a tough time thinking about changing careers or jumping ship to chase after a dream, you're going to want to listen to how our guest today left a safe, stable job to gain more control of his life and financial future. So super excited to welcome our guest today, Trenton McMinn. Trenton, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Dallin, thank you for having me. I'm super stoked to be here. It's an honor.
So Yeah. And Trenton and I connected on LinkedIn a few weeks back and come to find out our offices are probably a stone cast away from each other. Yeah. So that was kind of cool.
Could probably throw a rock over to your office.
Awesome. So Trenton, really looking forward to our interview today. And I know there's going to be a lot of incredible nuggets. And one thing that really stuck out to me about you was kind of our similar backgrounds. We both came from the medical side of things and went into business with things that didn't at all relate to medical, and we'll let you get into your story, but just really excited for you to share your path because I know there's other people that are going to be able to relate. So with that being said, just take a few minutes and share with our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do today.
Yeah, of course. So I'm 29 years old. I'm married to a wonderful woman named Carol. We've been married for almost 9 years already. We have one son. He's going to be turning 3 in March. We love hiking, riding bikes, pretty much anything outdoors. I'm actually currently training for an ultra marathon and have aspirations of doing a 100-mile ultra later on this year. So our business name is Good Times Plumbing and Restoration, and we do water damage, mold remediation, and all residential and commercial plumbing. And we're here to bring people back to the good times because no one wakes up in the morning and wants to call a plumber or have water damage in their home or mold or anything like that. So that's our main thing.
How long ago did you start this business?
We started it in 2017. So just the end of 2017, it was kind of when we started coming up with the idea of it. And then we actually started business in 2018. So
awesome.
Just over 5 years.
So let's take it back now. Because you guys are doing well, you're on a path of progress and growth, which is super exciting. But what I found and what you and I have experienced is, had you asked us 10 years ago if we would be doing what we're doing today, we'd probably say no. Just because our lives, we just had completely different paths, aspirations, dreams, whatever the case may be. So let's take it back now. And when would you say that this entrepreneur journey really began for you?
I would say, like, me and my brother, we always talk. So I have a brother that's 5 years younger. His name's Jared. And growing up, we always wanted to, like, open up a business. And we always wanted to do something and grow something together. But obviously, we had no idea what we wanted to do. So I would say, like, we had a pretty good, with my uncle and my mom and her siblings, they started a business. They had a preschool out here in Arizona. And so I had some time to spend with my uncle. And he had kind of talked to me a lot about entrepreneur and being a business owner and kind of that kind of thing. So I'd say from a pretty young age, we knew that we wanted to start a business, but we had no idea what we wanted to do.
Do you have any early memories of any side hustles or hustles as a kid to try to generate some money or revenue?
Oh yeah, we were always working. We'd always go to the summer and we'd spend time with my grandpa and be doing like pulling weeds, trimming bushes. We'd go out to the farm out in Oklahoma and kind of work out there as well. And so I would say from like a pretty young age, it was pretty well instilled in us, the value of hard work and integrity and mental toughness and all of that. That was something that I would say is my background growing up, is something that really kind of helped push us to the success that we've had so far and kind of helped shape where we're going to be going as a company.
So share with us some of those things that really helped you develop that sense of hard work, integrity, mental toughness. Because that's stuff that, from my experience, like those are usually things taught to you when you're a kid that carry through. And you can, we all probably know those people that, I don't know if I should be saying this or not, but we say probably didn't get spanked enough as a kid. I'm not saying that that's the determining factor, but the point I'm making is that this idea of integrity, mental toughness, hard work, a lot of that for some of the most successful people I know was instilled at such a young age. So share with us some of those examples or things that maybe you went through as a kid that you can attribute to helping you acquire and possess some of those attributes.
Yeah, I mean, growing up with my grandpa and my dad, like we were just always working hard. Like I remember so many times during the summer, like we'd get woken up really early before the sun would come up and we'd just be outside like doing weeds all day long. You know what I mean? And that's not, you know, in the summer heat, it's hot. And there'd be times where we were working. And then my mom would be like, oh, you know, dinner's ready. And I'd be like, yes, like we're going to be done. And my dad would just keep going and we'd just keep working. And he really just installed that into us that you don't always get to do fun things. Like sometimes you have to do the hard things to be able to get to where you want to go. It's the monotony, the little things that if you can't take pride in doing the little things well, it's going to be hard to do those bigger things. You know what I mean? And some other little stories too, like we'd always go up to the White Mountains as a kid and my dad would always make us get into the freezing cold water.
He was making you guys cold plunge before that was even a cool thing to do.
Yeah, before it was even a thing. And so we were always just doing things like that, you know, and I grew up in a background in wrestling. Like I kind of came from a legacy family in wrestling out here in Arizona. Like my grandpa, ASU's first All-American. And within wrestling, you have to be mentally tough. You have to work hard. We're doing these drills and it's not always the fun things. It's shooting the same shot 100 times, 200 times, doing everything over and over again. And you're cutting weight, having to do like really hard practices and the heat, they'd always turn up the heat on us and things like that. And for me, like I said, I wrestled my entire life. I was a two-time state placer in high school. And then my senior year was undefeated all season, ranked number one in the state. And then like a week before state, I actually injured my ankle really badly. Like I could barely walk. And I actually went against medical advice and wrestled anyways in the state tournament just because like I didn't want to have that question in my head. What if I would have tried? You know what I mean? So I ended up wrestling anyways and I ended up having to drop out after my first match just because like I couldn't move the way that I normally would. I couldn't get up from bottom. Couldn't stand up. I couldn't hit my shots. I couldn't just maneuver really like the way that I normally would. And so it was pretty tough dropping out. And I remember my dad came up to me afterwards and he was like really emotional. My dad's not the kind of person that gets emotional. He came up and he's just like, I want you to know that I love you. And you made me really proud going out there and wrestling. Like, I know you're injured. And then he kind of made a little bit of a joke. Like, I'm glad that you really enjoyed wrestling and that you stuck with it because I would have made you do it anyways, you know? So that's just kind of like the mentality that we had as a family. Like whenever something was broken, like we fixed it ourselves.
How many people wouldn't have even competed, right? That's a question going through my mind. And you said it yourself, like you had to at least try.
Yeah.
You had to at least try. And so many people quit before they even try because of the fear of what if. And whether you went into that match thinking you were going to win it all, or maybe you just wanted to go in to see what you were capable of, most people wouldn't even get to that point. And this idea of hard work, and I like what you said earlier, sometimes you got to work before you play. And a lot of people, I feel like nowadays, just want to play.
Yeah,
like finding people that can work hard, I feel like it's harder and harder to find. But for those willing to work hard, it doesn't take, in my opinion, doesn't take that much more effort to set yourself apart.
Oh, for sure.
From the majority.
Yeah.
Because that work gap, if you will, is becoming larger. It doesn't take as much work to set yourself apart.
Yeah. And so, I mean, even for me, like, I wouldn't say that I'm the smartest person out there, or that I'm the best salesman out there, or that I have like the best ideas. Like, really, like, one thing that sets me apart is just my ability to just go out there and just perform, just keep learning, keep working. Before we got into the restoration and stuff, I got into door-to-door sales right out of high school. Because like I said, me and my brother, we knew that we wanted to start a business, but I was kind of with that 5-year age gap. Like, I needed some time to start developing some skills, like working on things that I thought that were important to being in business and customer service, being comfortable with talking to people, sales, really just kind of putting myself out there and putting myself in situations that were really uncomfortable. And one thing that came up to me was like, go do door-to-door sales. Like, I had a friend that was really successful in it, and he kind of talked me into going out to Louisiana. And I was in Baton Rouge right after I graduated high school. And my mom was not excited about that. At the time, like, it was like the murder capital of the United States. You know, like, there was a lot of crime out there, and she didn't like the idea of her 18-year-old son going around knocking doors and kind of being on my own. But I was always someone that wasn't afraid to go out and try things and go out and work hard. I wasn't the most savvy talker with people. Like, the guy I went out there with, he could go up to anybody and just sell them. I remember when I was learning on the job, we walked up to this guy's house, and in the South, everybody just sits on their porch, you know, and this guy's out there cleaning his gun. And this is old guy just cleaning his gun. And, you know, we're selling security for ADT. And so he goes up and starts talking to him about security. He's like, security. He's like, I got this gun right here. You know, anyone comes in. And he ended up talking Tim into like, what if you're not home? What if you guys are out? Or what if you have kids or grandkids over and you're not home to use that gun? You know, like, what's going to happen then? And he ended up like selling this guy who I would have thought not in a million years would be buying security. You know what I mean? So like, that definitely was not me. My thing was that I was just really genuine with people. I tried to be polite to them and just really believing in with home security. Like, it's not a matter of if that happens, but you want to be prepared in case it does happen, you know? And sometimes just having that security in your house, having that sign out in front would deter a lot of people from that. And so I would just try to hit as many doors as I possibly could. Cause like, I knew if I could find the right person that would talk to me, that I could get in there and help them out and get them something that would make them feel more secure in their house.
You're talking about something here that I think a lot of business owners still struggle with today, even adults, older adults, and that's just having clarity on where their strengths and weaknesses lie. Mm-hmm. And you shared with us an example of this person that could go up and just about sell anyone. Maybe he was a little bit more smoother, was a little bit more comfortable, maybe a little bit more extroverted. And I would say that's actually a very small percentage of us business owners that are actually like that. Most of us, I think, want to do good and we're willing to work hard. But because you had that clarity on your strengths and what you could excel at, it sounds like you were still able to be successful and still able to connect with people because you were genuinely yourself.
Yeah.
You weren't trying to be like this person. I mean, I'm sure there's things you learned from him. Oh, I'm sure there's different strategies and techniques that you were able to apply, but you weren't trying to be him. You were trying to be the best version of yourself. And I think there's so many business owners still struggling with that today because they're trying to be everything to everyone. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, they're getting lost. They don't have that clarity in who they are and how they can serve.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point too with like being an entrepreneur. Like, you have to know what your strengths are. You have to know what it is that you're good at. And I know a lot of people, they say like, work on your weaknesses. But what I feel like we've done really good here as a company, and even with my brother and Hunter that are my partners here, is they're not exactly like me. You know what I mean? Like, they bring different skill sets of things that like I'm not good at. And like, those are the people that you need to know what you're good at and work on that. And then obviously there's other little skills that you can work on too that are not necessarily your strengths, you know what I mean? But you can work on that too. But I think knowing what you're good at and putting your effort towards that, and then building that team around you that's going to be able to make up for your shortcomings. And I think that's a really big, important thing as well.
And these are things that you were learning at such a young age, 18 years mm-hmm. old out of high school. You started learning these things, and probably even before, because I'm certain in wrestling, there was probably certain strengths and weaknesses around yourself and your opponent that you had to learn to leverage and capitalize on. Where did life take you after these summer sales? And before we go there, what was one of the biggest lessons you learned from doing door-to-door sales?
I would say that it really just kind of builds off of that mentality. Because like I said, I wasn't the most smooth talker. Like I wasn't going to go in there and be that really savvy sales guy. But just knowing that if I talk to enough people, and it really just reinforced that for me. Because that first summer, I actually ended up being the top rookie salesman of that season. And I could tell you, there were so many other guys that we would go up and do our little morning things where you'd have to go up and you'd practice doing like your opening pitches with people. And I remember just being super uncomfortable with going up in front of a group of like 10, 20 people. And you'd have to, like, you would give an opening pitch and then they would give an opening pitch. And then you'd have to keep going back and forth until someone got stumped and couldn't come up with something. But what I learned is like getting out of that comfort zone, like instead of like hiding in the back, you know, like I got up there, like I'd watched it a few times and then I would get up there because they would make everybody go, but there was people that would kind of dodge out on it. And I knew that that was something that I needed to get better at. And if I didn't work on it, like do it over and over again, then that was something that I could do better. And so putting myself in those situations that are uncomfortable and getting outside of my comfort zone and just taking that time to practice those, you know what I mean? Like I knew that I wasn't that great at doing that. So I spent that time at night, like reviewing different pitches and different openings that I don't think this one works for me. But then I heard this one from somebody else who wasn't like super savvy or like that typical door-to-door salesman who can just wheel and deal off the bat. So like you kind of find people that have the same type of strategy and the same type of characteristics, I guess you could say, and then like start implementing that thing and then taking that time and developing it to be your own. And so
that's such a valuable lesson. It's like, I mean, be yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And I like to tell people, and I've heard this quote somewhere on multiple occasions, be yourself because everyone else is already taken.
Yep.
Like be yourself, but find ways to capitalize and to improve. And I think if you can really focus in on those strengths and lean into it, and then learn how to manage your weaknesses, whether it's partnering or delegating it to someone, mm-hmm. you'll be amazed at the progress you can make and whatever venture it is that you're on. So
yeah,
awesome. So where did life take you after door-to-door sales?
Yeah. So while I was doing door-to-door sales, I actually had this other like lifelong aspiration too, that I wanted to be a firefighter. At first I wanted to go into the military and be like a pararescue, but ultimately, like I always from like in kindergarten, you know how you write down the three wishes, you know what I mean? One of them was I wanted to be a firefighter. I thought that that was a really cool, honorable job going into fires and you know, putting fires out and kind of helping people out when they were in desperate times and kind of being there for them. That was always something that I really wanted to do. And my dad was a firefighter. And my dad is probably like, if you were to ask me who my hero was, it's definitely my dad. He's an outstanding person. You know, he would give you the shirt off his back. He's always working on people's cars and doing things for people. And he was a firefighter. And that was something that I really wanted to do, was get into firefighting. And that kind of really led into the entrepreneur for me too, because a lot of the firefighters that I knew also were entrepreneurs. They had side hustles and side jobs. And I knew that with that 48, 2 days on, 4 days off, you had a lot of time to do other things. And so I kind of saw that as a good stepping stone for me getting into owning my own business. Like you said, 10 years ago, I would probably think that I'd still be firefighting and doing the business thing, but that's not how it worked out for me. While I was doing the door-to-door sales thing, I signed up for an EMT class and I got my EMT, kept doing the door-to-door sales, eventually went on, got my paramedic certificate at CAC out in Apache Junction, and ended up getting hired with Superstition Fire and Medical. And it was awesome. Like, got to go through the fire academy, got to meet a lot of really good guys from Phoenix Fire, Scottsdale, Glendale. Like, I got to meet a lot of really, really good guys out there and got to further my career that way. And even with that, like, there were so many things that I learned from being a firefighter and being a paramedic that translated directly over to restoration. At this point, still not even knowing that I was going to be getting into restoration, but got hired, was going through my probationary year, and I had a lot of more time off. My brother was just graduating from high school, and so we started kind of throwing around some different ideas. Like, we thought about maybe getting into pest control or just different little service jobs. And I actually got a call from one of my old managers. when I was doing door-to-door sales, and he was actually like the general manager of one of the biggest restoration companies out here in Arizona. And he called me and he said that he wanted me to be on his team as like their sales manager. And I was like, doing what? And he was like, water damage restoration. And I was like, okay, I've never heard of that before. So I went in and got to see the facility. They had so many vehicles and just a bunch of equipment. And at the time, I didn't even know that there was water damage in Arizona. It's so hot and hadn't even known anybody that had a flood. And so I started doing some more research on that and ended up not working out because I had to be on the phones 24/7, 7 days a week. And I just couldn't commit to that with being on the fire department. I had my 2 days on and can't answer the phone if you're on a call. So it ended up not working out. But yeah, I'd started doing some more research into that. Yeah.
And for those listening in the firefighting paramedic world, when Trenton's saying 2 days on, he's not talking about 2 8-hour shifts. Like it's 24-hour shifts, correct?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like when he says 2 days, he means two full days. And so during those 2 days, you're in it, you're committed, you have to be focused on what you're doing, but it's in those days off that it sounds like a lot of these other people and firefighters and colleagues started different side hustles and different businesses. And I think that's a great way to start because then you have the safety, security of a stable job, and then it gives you an opportunity to dip your toes. And it sounds like that's what you were starting to do. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I want to get into that transition from what was it that ultimately led you to make that jump from firefighting paramedic to business owner.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll be right back in a few short moments.
Hey, Dallin Schultz here with Rev Equity Group. We just launched an exciting new investment opportunity for those looking to diversify their investments across 1,000+ apartment units in some of the hottest markets in the country. If you are fed up with banks and the stock market and want to invest in hard assets to more effectively grow and preserve your wealth, then click on the link in the show notes for more info or go to investwithrev.com and schedule a short 15-minute intro call so we can determine if our investment strategy is aligned with your goals. It's time to take your financial future into your own hands. Take action, schedule a call, and find out how my team can serve you. At Rev, we make apartment investing easy.
All right. Welcome back to the Millionaire Mind. So Trent, share with our listeners, you started dipping your toes into the business world, the restoration world. At what point did you decide to really take that leap and jump into it full time?
Yeah. So me and my brother, we just kept meeting and kind of coming up with different ideas, kind of throwing things in. And then, like I said, I learned about the water damage restoration. And what I really liked about that was it kind of felt like it was an extension of my service at the fire department. When people have floods or water damage or mold or anything like that, even plumbing emergencies, like that's their home. Like that's where they go at the end of the day to be with their family. That's where they go to where they can fully be themselves. And when something like that happens, like it's an emergency. And like that, even if it's a small job, it turns up their world. It's very stressful. And being a firefighter paramedic, like on probation, I was being trained to be the lead paramedic and conducting the interviews and walking into a situation where it might not be a big deal. Like something as small as like someone stubbed their toe at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'd learned from my captain that somebody's worst day is the same as your worst day, but it may just look different. You know what I mean? So even if someone stubbed their toe at 2 o'clock in the morning, like it's really easy to be, oh, what the heck? Like, why is this person calling 911? But to them, like it's an emergency, you know what I mean? And so he always installed in us like that professionalism of going in and taking care of them, making them feel like we're there for them because that's what it is. It's a service and that's what we're there for. And so I really saw that as an extension to that. And with my skills that I was learning, like I was able to go in there and help these customers that were having their house flood and being able to calm them down and let them know that we're going to be able to take care of them and that we're going to be able to walk them through the process and really, like I said, bring back the good times, return them back to good times was always kind of like our motto. And so that really stuck with us. And we kind of got together with our family friend, Hunter, who we've known him since we were little kids, kind of grew up together. We wrestled at Apache Junction High School together. And we decided like, hey, like, let's do this. So we signed up for a WRT class out in Colorado and all three of us flew out there and we took the class, got certified. And the funny thing is too, is like going to that class, it was pretty intimidating because a lot of these people had 3, 5, 7 years experience in the industry. and they were working for people and we're coming in like, yeah, we're going to start our own business. You know, like we've never done this before. And people were like, you guys are crazy. Like, this isn't going to work. You guys have no idea what you guys are doing. And so we kind of had to push that to the side because we knew that whatever it is that we were going to do, like we were going to learn the ins and the outs of it. And we were going to put in all of those things that we learned as a kid, putting in that hard work, learning things, learning about the insurance. And so we came back, we all put together some money that we had earned from me doing firefighting. My brother did the wildland firefighting and Hunter was doing construction out in Colorado. And we saved up enough money and started it. And it was pretty exciting. It was really exciting at first. It was really nerve wracking though, too, because there was so much that we didn't know.
This was back in 2018 is when you guys opened the doors, right?
Yep, 2018.
I've noticed this in myself and a lot of business owners, and I want to get your thoughts on it. There's almost a necessary level of ignorance when you go to launch a business or open a business, because I think if you truly knew what you were getting yourself into, most of us probably wouldn't have done it or even started going down that path. So what are your thoughts around that? Because you experienced this. You went to this conference to get certified, to get what you needed to do to open the doors for your business. And these people that were in the industry for 3, 5, 7 years are saying, what are you guys doing? You're nuts. Like, there's so much to it. Like, you could have easily allowed that to just crush you guys and be like, oh, all right, let's pivot. Let's try something else. Like, what was it that kept you going?
Man, like you said, probably just that ignorance. Like, we knew that we wanted to do it at that point. And like getting that type of feedback, like you can't let that stuff affect you, because there's always going to be people that don't believe in what it is that you're doing. But knowing what it took now to get to where we're at, like it was hard. Like, there was a lot of ups and downs. You asked me back then, I would have thought that within a couple of years that we'd be doing millions of dollars in revenue and we'd have 4 or 5 crews and everything would be going good. But like, what I really learned is that it takes so much longer than what you initially thought. And like you said, having that ignorance of that is probably what helped get us to that point too, because we were just working, putting in the work, learning everything. Like, when we first got into it, like, we didn't know how to write an estimate on Xactimate or sketch a house. And we were actually just laughing not too long ago because we were looking back at some of our old estimates and we happened to stumble upon like our first estimate from our first job that we did. And it was complete gibberish. We were trying to use Xactimate. Like, we didn't even sketch out the house the right way. And it's honestly kind of crazy that we even got paid by the insurance. I'm sure that they just looked at that and didn't want to deal with it. It didn't even know what was going on. So they're like, let's just pay this guy in full and move on to the next one.
Oh, man. What would you say was one of those biggest challenges jumping in? You don't know what you don't know when you get into this business. You guys knew enough and were drawn to it that you knew you wanted to get started. But in that first year of starting a business, what would you say was one of the biggest challenges you guys faced?
I would say just learning about like the industry. How does an insurance claim work? How do we file an insurance claim for the customers that have never filed a claim before? Answering their questions on like, how does an insurance claim work? And I would say one thing for us that really helped us is that if we didn't know something, we would have to find it out. Like, we would go and start looking it up. Like, we were going to get the answer to the customer. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No worries. Like, we'll get back to you here in a minute. And we'd go look it up and call people and just try to like really just figure out like what we were going to do as a company to answer these questions. And obviously there's things that as you are longer, like in business longer, you start to learn how to handle those situations. But I would say at first, just the inexperience and our partner Hunter, just getting out of college, like I was really the only one that kind of had that professional experience being in the fire department. And then us just being so young, like I was 23, my brother was 18, and Hunter was 21, turning 22. And just that inexperience, really, that being young, we would go to people's house and they would see us being so young. And that was a big hurdle too. When you start working with contractors and you're only 23 and people think that you don't know what you're talking about. And so just overcoming that with learning about the industry and learning the ins and outs and really getting dialed in on what we learned in our class. And I think even like not having prior experience, like even though it was kind of a like a hindrance at first, it actually became like one of our greatest assets because we didn't have any of that. Like, we did everything by the book, like everything that we learned in our IACRC class, like the containments, like we didn't have any bad habits that were learned on the job. So everything that we did was by the book. And like, we made sure that we focused on our customers' experience. making sure that they were taken care of, that we were going to do everything that we could to make them feel comfortable and make sure that we were walking them through the process. And I think that that's really kind of what set us apart from other companies, is just that customer experience and then creating people that would refer us out. Word of mouth was huge for us at the beginning. And that's not really big in this industry, is people getting jobs word of mouth, because it's kind of like you have one flood or one water damage claim. Most people have never even filed a claim when they call us, but they've heard about us from somebody. So that really like helped us starting out.
There's a couple things that I want to go back and touch on. Number one, when you guys started, well, I guess before we go into this, looking back, do you wish that you worked with a restoration company for a few years before you went out and launched your company, or would you not have done it any other way?
I don't think I would have, just because we see a lot of other work, and it's just with how we did things, you know, it was kind of off the beaten path a little bit. Like our containments, we set really nice containments. Like we just do things the way that it should be done. And like, maybe that's kind of common knowledge, but like you wouldn't believe how much like shortcuts there are out there. And but really like what the damage that can do to people's houses though, because when you're dealing with water damage, it's not a matter of if there's mold, it's a matter of when there's mold. And there's so many times that when we go to do demolition, like it might have been a clean water loss that just happened a day or two ago, and like mold might not have sat in, but you start to peel back baseboards and there's mold from there from a previous loss that maybe they didn't even know about because they're new homeowners there. And so we set containment on every job because we know that that's the right thing to do. And you don't want to get drywall dust over people's stuff. So we actually get calls a lot too from customers that have started the process with other companies and just didn't feel comfortable with them. And then after doing like a little bit more research, they find us and then they end up giving us a call. And some of the work that we'd see was, it's kind of scary because mold, it can make people sick. We've seen people that were having health conditions with that, and their dogs are getting rashes and they have little kids in the house. And so making sure that the job is being done the right way, like that's been a huge importance for us from the very beginning.
There's two themes, if you will, that have come up over these last few minutes that I've got to highlight. Number one, when you guys jumped into this, you didn't know much about restoration, but you believed in yourselves. And having that high level of confidence, and what I would actually say is just self-assurance, right? Because there was probably some lack of confidence and some days, maybe a lot of days, I think as business owners, we experience that a lot. We're like, what are we doing? Who am I to be doing this? But you have confidence in yourself. And even though you know that you don't know everything, mm-hmm. you have confidence in your ability to figure it out. Exactly. And I think that's something that I believe that that's a learned skill. Mm-hmm. Anybody can learn it, but you can't learn that unless if you're putting yourself out there and you're trying different things and you get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Yeah. And it sounds like from such a young age, you were put through different things mm-hmm. that helped you gain that self-assurance and confidence in yourself. One, you could survive through the cold lake plunges that your dad made you do as a kid, mm-hmm. right? Being a paramedic and a firefighter, trying to quickly assess a situation and then prioritize what's the most important thing to do next, right? And keeping your cool during all that. So self-insurance is a very, very common thread that I've seen with a lot of entrepreneurs. They may not know it all and they'll tell you that, but they have confidence that they're going to be able to figure it out. And that is something that's learned and acquired. So that's one thing I wanted to point out. And that's something you have control of. You as a business owner have complete control of that. Number two is the customer experience. That's mm-hmm. another thing you have complete control of as a business owner. And over these last 15, 20 minutes, as you've been sharing with us your experience, those two things really stuck out to me. Mm-hmm. If you can have that self-assurance and you can ensure that your customers have a good experience, mm-hmm. I'm confident you will be a successful business owner. It may not happen as quick as you want it to.
Yeah.
But if you're consistent and disciplined enough and you keep leaning on those two attributes right there, you're going to be successful. It'd be kind of hard not to. And you've experienced that. You said a lot of your business comes word of mouth and referrals.
Yeah.
And people want to do that if they weren't confident in your abilities and if you didn't deliver a good experience.
Yeah. And like I said, I would be lying if I said that there wasn't times where like we'd get a job that was kind of like a pretty big job and we felt like we were in way over our heads. Like we have no this job is just so much. And like with it just being us three at the beginning, because we didn't have a huge startup fund, like we didn't have family members supporting us in the sense of like investments and that sort of thing. Like we started out with a very small amount of money and we were smart with our money. Like we bought all of our equipment used, like we drove to Texas, we drove to New Mexico, Colorado, Tucson to buy used old equipment that we were able to get at a very, very cheap rate. And just doing things like that really helped us out. We weren't going out and wasting money on buying brand new trucks. And I have this photo that I was looking at the other day too, of when we had first started, and we are so young and we're standing out in front of this trailer that we went and bought. And it was just this old trailer that we picked up for like $980 and needed like ball bearings done on it. We needed to put new tires on it. We stripped the paint down, painted it ourselves in our garage, and we got our logo put on it, and we just made this ourselves. And looking back at it now, it's not the prettiest thing, but like we made it work. But there were definitely days where that kept me up at night, where I'm like, man, like, what am I doing? You kind of start to get that self-doubt, like, and it's stressful. Like it caused a lot of anxiety, and it caused a lot of, there was times where I'd go through like anxiety bouts, especially being at the fire department, like being away from it. And like, they're starting to get really busy and me not being able to help them out. So there was a lot of things like that, where it was really hard, but really kind of what, like you said, that helped us get through that was just creating, taking that time to like, whenever those thoughts would come through, okay, like what is it that we need to work on, and creating that list, being up at night instead of just like letting that take over. Okay, I have anxiety about things not being the way that I want it to do, the way that I want it to be. And so getting up, making that list, like, hey, what are things that I can do to help this? And so start making that list and then prioritize those. Like, what are going to have the biggest impact on our business now? And prioritize and then execute. Get into it. Start getting stuff done. Because if you're working towards what you want to do, you don't have time to be anxious anymore. You have to just keep working on it.
You just got to take that action.
Yeah.
You got to take that action. But listen to it, right? Like, there's a reason you were experiencing that anxiety. Mm-hmm. So leaning into it, lean into it and be like, okay, what is making me feel this way? What can I implement? What do I need to change to experience a little bit of relief? And if you lean into that rather than running from it, because that's the thing, when people start feeling anxious, when they start feeling stressed, they avoid it. They get sucked into social media. They go do other things to get those dopamine hits and kind of sweep that anxiety and stress under the carpet rather than leaning into it and really figuring out what's causing it. And so take that action, but take that time to really assess and become self-aware of your situation in the company and be like, what do I need to do to make this easier?
Yeah.
And a lot of that happens, a lot of that stress, a lot of that anxiety, in my experience, comes from not having a good system or a good process in place. Exactly. And if you could spend time putting that together, now you're starting to create a machine. Yeah. Now you're getting everyone on your team on the same page. So whether you're there or not, people know where to pick up. They know where you left off, and you could create that smooth experience for people.
Exactly.
So yeah,
that's huge. Yeah, creating awesome. Those systems.
Well, Trent, we're coming up on time, man. And this has been just a blast just talking to you and hearing about your journey. But before we get into these last few questions, what's next for you? Where are you guys going? What are some of your goals? Like, what are you hoping to accomplish in the next 12 months?
Yeah, so we just started plumbing at the end of last year. So we're really kind of focusing on growing the plumbing side of things. We've got a really good plumber right now that's working with us that has a lot of experience. He's also really young as well. I think he's only like 24. But we're working on growing the plumbing side. Within the next 5 years, we'd really like to open up, get our own office, buy some land, build our own warehouse, our own HQ, and just continuing to better our trade and continue to grow our reach. We do a lot of volunteer work. Like, we adopted this SR24 that goes out to Queen Creek, and we do like highway cleanups for that. And we really like giving back. So really just taking care of our community, growing our brand, and really just continuing to take it to the next level as far as like, what can we do better? Because I think that what we do is we have a really high level of doing things, and like we hold ourselves to a very high standard when we do things. And our employees, like, I'm probably not always the easiest to work for, but the thing is like our guys, they're great. Like, they learn and they take it, what I'm saying, they implement it. And so really just continuing what we're really doing and growing, and hopefully get our own warehouse, like I said, in the next 5 years. That's kind of where we're at right now.
Awesome.
Awesome. That's exciting, man. Excited to see where things go from here. Watching you. So, Trent, as we wrap this up, I like to ask these questions to every guest we've had on the show, but what is one absolute book recommendation for those looking to scale and further develop their millionaire mind?
I'm a big reader, and so I've read a lot of business books, but I would say the one that has helped me the most would be Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink. And that book was actually referred to me probably about 4 years ago from one of my really good friends that wasn't working with us at the time, but he's actually like our general manager now and handles a lot of our sales and that sort of thing. And he had told me I needed to read this book. So I read it and it had a huge impact on how we do things. Like I talked about prioritize and execute. I talked about detach, you know, whenever you get into a stressful situation, being able to detach from that situation, take a step back, open up your peripheral and seeing what it is that you need to do and then execute. And I would say that that book had a huge impact to me and our team because I made everybody that works for us on our team to read that book. And it really helped out a lot, taking that ownership of everything that's within your realm and then even ownership of people's that might not even be your job, but like as a team, like we have to be able to go and help everybody else out. And so that really helped us out.
That's an incredible book. And if you haven't read it, I second that recommendation. It's incredible read and it's enjoyable too. It's not like you're, for those that aren't familiar with the book, Jocko Willink is an ex-Navy SEAL. And so he teaches these business principles that he learned from combat, being an active Navy SEAL. And he does it through stories. And some of the stories are stuff that he messed up.
Yeah.
And he took ownership for it. And so it very, very good read, very enjoyable. And man, there's a lot of nuggets in there. So awesome recommendation. Trent, what has been one of your favorite quotes that you've embodied and lived by?
There's so many quotes out there, but I would say the quote that stuck with me was actually from my grandpa. And he was the wrestling coach at Apache Junction High School for over 20 years. And he coached over 50 state champions there and was probably one of the greatest like high school coaches in Arizona of all time. And one thing that he had up on his wall that I looked at every day was no working, no winning. And so that's just something that I've always kept. And it's kind of funny to think back on, but that's a big one for me.
And we live in a society where people just want that quick win. They don't want to put in the work. They want the immediate Instagram fame. They want the immediate dopamine hits. And they're not willing to put in the work, the sacrifice, and discipline to truly earn it. Love it. Yeah. So if there was one thing you could share with fellow business owners that are beginning or simply trying to get to that next level, what would it be?
I would say if I could share one thing is that it's not always going to be easy. You know, a lot of people see entrepreneurship as this shiny, like you said, like Instagram, like all these people, they've got like Ferraris and Lamborghinis and they talk about quick success and all of that. Is that out of all the things that I've done, it's probably one of the hardest things that I've ever done. And success isn't something that you achieve, but something that you're constantly striving for because things can always be better. Like you're never going to arrive. Like it's not a destination. And so you got to work through the hard times and know that like you're not the only one that goes through that. You know, I have so many mentors and people that I listen to podcasts on. And that's one thing that I can say for sure is that it's not always going to be easy. But it's just something that you got to work through. It's not always glamorous. There's a lot of things that...
Yeah. Most of the time, that's not. But the glamour that you're seeing on online and social media and books, magazines, movies, that's after people have gone through hell and back, often multiple times. And even then, it might look that way on the outside and you come to find out that shit's just hitting the fan.
Yeah.
All day, every day. So
All the time.
But it's those people that are, again, have that self-assurance in themselves, and they know that they could bring value to others and whatever vehicle it is that they're driving, whether it's real estate investing, restoration in your case, you can make an impact on people's lives in whatever business it is that you offer. And I think that's a very important takeaway. So Trent, this has been awesome. How can our listeners learn more about you and your company?
I would say go to our website. It's www.goodtimesrestoration.com. And then I'm not really on social media, but the only thing that I really have is LinkedIn. And I would say just Trenton McMinn at LinkedIn. And yeah, you can connect with me on there. I'm not super, super active on there, but I'm trying to be a little bit more active and sharing like our journey and things that we got going on. So yeah, that would be the places that I would recommend to learn more about us.
goodtimesrestoration.com or Trenton McMinn on LinkedIn. So this has been an incredible conversation with Trenton. And if this is your first time listening, I'm so glad that you tuned in. People have been asking me what my company does. So since I have you here listening to my show, I'll share that with you now. So my company partners with busy professionals just like Trenton that are looking to experience significant tax savings, have more to invest, and even reinvest their hard-earned capital. And we work with other successful business owners like you by offering them opportunities to invest alongside us in large apartment deals. If you've been frustrated with the stock market, want to grow capital in something you can actually touch and see, and invest in one of the most recession-resilient asset classes, then you can find out how I can serve you by visiting investwithrev.com. It can be overwhelming vetting the right investment and the right operator, but at Rev, we make real estate investing easy. Trenton, again, man, thanks so much for coming on and just sharing your story and so many good nuggets that we could pull from this, and really appreciate you taking time out of your day to share that with myself and our listeners.
Yeah, thank you. It was a real pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And remember, to our listener, remember, you can't have a $1 million dream with a minimum wage work ethic. So go out there and earn your win for today, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Hope you got value from this episode of The Millionaire Mind, a journey into the mindset of successful business owners. If you want to get results, you've got to take the right steps to get there. Dallin hosts a free weekly educational webinar focused on teaching you how to start investing in apartments so you too can experience the benefits of real estate ownership without doing any of the heavy lifting. There you can gain insights, connect with others like you, and ask Dallin all your burning questions about how you can start owning apartments today. Go to themillionairemind.us. That link is in the show notes.